The reading is from Luke's Gospel, and it's one of three stories that Jesus told about lost things. There was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, and there was, well, we'll see in the story, Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 11. Beginning at verse 11. Sorry, I've not got the number in front of me on the in the church Bible, but Luke chapter 11. Jesus continued, because this is the last of the three stories he was telling. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth with wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Oh, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found." More often than not, the passage that we're looking at is called the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son sometimes. Kind of hinting that I think that's misleading, because it gives you the impression it's about a son. And maybe it is, but the question is, which son is the parable really about? It's fairly easy to find out. You go back to why Jesus was telling the story in the first place, because Jesus didn't just randomly sit down and tell people stories. He was almost always responding to a situation or to something that somebody'd said to him. So if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, which has these three stories of the lost things in it, this is what you read. "Now the tax collectors," this is Luke 15 verse 1, "now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus." So there's the scene. Jesus is there, and there's all these nasty characters. People with dubious lifestyles. Some of them were tax collectors. That meant they worked for the hated Roman invaders. They were traitors, quislings. We don't like them. Others, well, their moral standards were such that good, pious Jews didn't have anything to do with them. If you saw them coming, you crossed the road, went by on the other side. They were just not people to be spoken to at all. No, not if you were a decent Jew. And so the Pharisees, verse 2, and the teachers of the law muttered, "Huh, prophet, Jesus, he doesn't even know who to be friends with. He hasn't even learned the basics of being a good Jew. He's talking to all these nasty people. And he shouldn't be. He should be like us, keeping himself to the right, nice, polite kind of company." So Jesus told them a story. And then he tells them a second story. Then he tells them a third story with a punchline. The first story and the second story are really about something very straightforward and simple. And he put it in these words on another occasion. He says, "Would you complain at a doctor who hangs around with sick people? Isn't that his job? What about a probation officer who hangs around with ex-criminals? That's his job. That's what he's there for. The probation officer's there to try and help them change their lives so they don't go back to prison again. The doctor's there to try and help them get better so that they're not sick and they don't die. And Jesus is saying, I've come because there are people in need, so I hang about with people in need. And that was your job." That's what he's going to tell them. That's what God put you on this earth for. That's why God gave you his law. That's why God made you his special people, so that you could reach out to the others. So he tells these stories, and the first two are about lost things that were found. Because the first thing they need to understand is that these publicans and sinners and tax collectors and morally dubious people, these are lost things and God's looking for them. So what he does is he sucks them in. He brings them into the story. And for the first part of our story about the two sons, they're all going, yeah. So Christian, beware. Jesus is drawing you into the story. And then when you're sitting comfortably, he's going to hit you with an application that you might not find quite so comfortable. So let's have a look. It's a tale of two sons. What about the younger son? What can we make of him? Well, he's a pretty disreputable character, isn't he? What's the nature of his sin? Well, he's disrespectful to his father to start with. And that was a big, big thing. You'll know that as Christian children are told, obey your parents. And that was true in the Old Testament. Indeed, one of the Ten Commandments, the major laws that God gave his people was, honor your father and your mother. And it's the first commandment with a promise, that you may be long in the land that the Lord your God is going to give you. God is saying, look, the whole of society rests on how families work. And if families don't work, nothing works. So be respectful to your parents. And this lad, well, he's not respectful at all. So keen were they on this in the Old Testament that if you look in places like Deuteronomy and so on, listen to this. If a man has a stubborn or a rebellious son who does not obey his father and his mother and will not listen to them when they discipline, his father and mother shall take him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. Whoa. But that's how seriously they took it. It was really, really important that families stay together because as the family is, so the nation is. And the nation was to tell people about God. The second thing, of course, is that he's greedy for material gain. He wants a life of pleasure. He doesn't want to work and earn. He wants to be given and spend. If there'd have been a lottery, he'd have been buying the tickets left, right, and center because he wants something for nothing. And he has a feeling that he lives with the goose that's got the golden egg, namely Dad. But he's really fed up with waiting for Dad to die, because until Dad dies, he can't get his hands on the money, and he wants it. Very much he wants it. It's an obsession with him. To the point that he comes to his father in the end, and he says, look, Dad, can't wait for you hanging around here doing nothing for you to die. Give me my share of the money now. It's just such an appalling thing to say to his father. It's perhaps maybe difficult for us to... You can imagine, can't you, somebody sort of saying, yeah, well, Mum and Dad, I really am cheesed off with waiting for you to go into the care home. Can you sell the house and give me half the money now and you could move into a little one-bed flat somewhere? You'd think, what kind of a person is that? But that's what he's doing. He's greedy for material gain. He lives an ungodly and an immoral life. How his elder brother knew exactly what he'd been doing, I don't know. Maybe he just knew the character of his brother. Maybe this is how he'd lived in the past. But Scripture uses kind of broad, gentle language, and then it gets a little bit specific. And he says he was doing everything he shouldn't have done. He was a drunk.